Welcome back to Live from Studio 5. Jim Van Hornen for Mike Ross, and Jawita Gupta is with us as well. This last Sunday of September is World Rivers Day. It's a worldwide celebration of the many values of rivers with the goal of increasing our involvement as river stewards. And joining us this morning to explain why we need to think of rivers as the arteries of our planet is Lawrence Gunther, AMI Audio's environmental contributor and host of Bluefish Radio right here on AMI Audio every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern. Lawrence, great to have you with us today.
Hi, Jim. How are you? Hi, Jawita.
I'm terrific.
Hey there. So I have to admit, I'm actually quite excited that we have a whole entire day dedicated to rivers because they are so important to our ecosystem. Tell us what Canada did to celebrate World Rivers Day this year round.
Well, I was fortunate to take part in a twinning ceremony. You know, cities twin, you know, you have a city in different parts of the world and they twin up for some reason because they have something in common, maybe a crazy name or something. Well, in this case, the reasons are really clear. We have the Ottawa River flowing through Canada's capital. It's a national river. It's got a historic significance. It's been designated as significant. And then there's the Potomac River that flows through Washington, D.C. Both are significant rivers in size. Both have a lot to do with the forming of the capitals for their respective countries. And both share many of the same sort of concerns.
Why is the Ottawa River so important? And how big is it? It looks huge when you see it from the air, you know, with the nation's capital.
It is. It's huge. Like the watershed, like so all the rivers and wetlands that drain into the Ottawa River, it's about 146,000 square kilometers.
Wow.
That's a sizable piece of land. The river itself is about 1,272 kilometers long. There is about 200 municipalities and 10 Algonquin First Nations that make the watershed its home. And over a million people draw their drinking water from the Ottawa River. Now, the Algonquin, Ojibwe, First Nations people, they traveled up and down this river for centuries. And you can still go to the portage routes that the First Nations people used to get around some of the more rapid areas that weren't, proper for canoeing. And you can find the vegetables and walnut trees that they planted there on those portage trails. You can still find those wild vegetables and trees growing there that they planted so many hundreds and hundreds of years ago for food as they traveled up and down the river. You know, more recently, Samuel Champlain paddled up the river in 1609, followed by a whole horde of settlers that came to grab the free land and cut down the trees. The trees were floated down the river, collected up in Montreal, and floated down further to Quebec City, where they were put on ships and sent over to England, where they satisfied the need for lumber there following England's war with Spain and parts of Europe. They were short of trees, right? So, I mean, now there's 19 dams that turn the river into sort of 19 separate ecosystems, distinct ecosystems with marine life or aquatic life that sort of changes from each area to the next, because there's no way for those aquatic ecosystems to connect. I mean, the water flows over the dam or through the hydroelectric turbines, but you know, the animals that live in between those dams don't really have a chance to move between those embayments.
And what about some of the other rivers in Canada? We've got quite a number that are significant.
We do. I mean, there's the Fraser and Skeena River on the west coast, and those are the two huge rivers that are a highway to, you know, hundreds of different salmon species. I'm talking, you know, more than just Chinook and Coho and Pink and Sockeye, but, you know, variations of each of those species go up those big throughways and then into other tributaries and then into their lakes and streams where they spawn. I mean, they're huge, significant rivers, the Skeena and the Fraser. In the Midwest, we've got the Peace and the Athabasca and the Mackenzie, and they all share something in common. They all flow north into the Arctic Ocean. And it's hard to imagine these rivers flowing north. You always think things, you know, flow downhill. But in this case, downhill is the Arctic Ocean. So all our waste and all our chemicals and everything are flowing right into that pristine Arctic water. And then out here on the East Coast, we've got, you know, the Rideau River, famous for the Rideau Canal, and the St. Lawrence River and the Ottawa River, and then all those beautiful rivers on the East Coast that the Atlantic salmon spawn up and you know, just gorgeous, gorgeous rivers. So, I mean, rivers really, it's more than just water flowing. I mean, sometimes we think of rivers as just places to drain water from one part of the country to another part of the country to avoid flooding. But if you think about them as arteries in a body, and the body is made up of living things, animal, plant, bird, and then the nutrients that the rivers move around, and then the rivers themselves are their own ecosystems, and they're just as distinct ecosystems as our forests and our lands. You know, they're totally autonomous, and they're totally independent, and they're totally dependent on us and the way we treat them.
You know, whenever I think of the East Coast, I always think of the Miramichi and, you know, John Wayne going up there to fish for salmon. I had the pleasure of living in Calgary for 4 years, and the Bow River goes right through the middle of the city. And it wasn't unusual and probably still remains the same today. The guys would, put on their hip waders at lunch hour and walk down to the river with their fly fishing equipment and fish the Bow River for their lunch break. And it was an everyday sight. So when you see things like that and the way the water moves in these and the recreation they provide and the industry that they help to provide, it's really something to see. How can we become better stewards of our rivers, Lawrence?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of cities that still have combined, you know, sewage and stormwater drain systems, old infrastructure. And when it rains hard, instead of the stormwater backing up into people's basements through their sewage connections, they have valves that release the pressure into rivers and lakes. So, you know, that's, you know, just basic raw sewage being dumped into these rivers and lakes. And that happens across Canada pretty much every time it rains hard. And, you know, they're setting in places systems to capture that so, it, you know, grab that overflow before it gets into the river so they can hold it and then pump it slowly back into the treatment facilities, the sewage treatment facilities. And that's fine for the visible stuff. And for a lot of sighted people, getting that visible stuff, you know, the tampon applicators and condoms and actual, you know, feces that you can see floating down the river after each of these rainstorms, that's super important for sighted people. But really, it's not causing the damage. What's causing the damage is the stuff you can't see. It's the chemicals that we pour down our drains. It's the pharmaceuticals that we pass through our body, in our urine, and into the toilets. It's the microplastics. You know, every time we wash something with micro fleece, you know, these beautiful lightweight fleece sweaters, about 1,400 little strands of microfiber are released into the water every time we wash one of these garments. And you know, and then there's the microbeads and the microplastics from deteriorating plastic bottles. And now we know, you know, that you can't take a glass of water out of any one of our taps that where we draw water from our rivers and lakes without finding plastics, pharmaceuticals, and chemicals in that glass of water. None of that stuff is being filtered out by our sewage treatment facilities. It's all invisible to the eye. But, you know, we need to know it's there. We need to have faith and understand that it's there and then do something about it, because really it's our lifestyles that flow downstream. And we have to stop dumping our pharmaceuticals, our old medications, our chemicals, you know, our antibiotic hand washes and so on. All these things are just impacting our rivers.
Well, I don't want to interrupt your flow but of you know, great conversation about rivers, but what's coming up on the next edition of Bluefish Radio?
I talked to the head researcher for Oceana Canada, and Oceana Canada and Department of Fisheries and Oceans were out on the Gulf of St. Lawrence with a remote-operated vehicle, and they were down there and, you know, 400 meters below the surface exploring the Gulf of St. Lawrence, looking for life and seeing what's down there. And, I, you know, I have a special place in my heart for the St. Lawrence River. It was about 40 years ago. It was actually 40 years ago this summer that a group of Boy Scouts paddled the entire St. Lawrence River. We left from Toronto. We paddled the entire St. Lawrence River and then around the Gaspé and down the coast to over to PEI for the Scout Jamboree.
Wow. What a trip.
It was a trip. I don't recommend it. It's a lot of wide open ocean and very cold water, but we did it. But, you know, listen in as I talked to Dr. Robert Rangeley, about the amazing life they discovered down there in the Gulf of St. Lawrence. It's a thriving ecosystem down there. It's just amazing.
Lawrence, thank you very much for joining us. I love your passion, man.
Oh, man, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's great. We'll hear from you in another couple of weeks.
Good luck with the quiz, Joita.
Thanks. I need it.
That was environmental expert and host of Blue Fish Radio, Lawrence Gunther. Make sure you catch his show Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio.